The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
Patterson to throw, steps, caught! Nico Collins!
Check out this. This is just beast mode. What a great ball up high for the tall wide receiver. And he's working against the safety. And number six, David Dowell, is no match at 6'1".
And welcome back to the Cover 3 podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Barton Simmons, and you know what this is. It's time for the Hurry Up Hot Seat Countdown. We continue and we call to the stand Mr. Tom Fornelli, who is here to defend the great honor of the Michigan Wolverines. Now, Tom, Michigan is at a place where we've got, as we discussed in the Big Ten East spring gleaning, we've got the turnover at quarterback with Shea Patterson gone, year two, Josh Gattis. But overall, I think we've got some program depth here that I think that we've got a pretty high floor for Michigan at this point in time. What does that high floor look like to you? Like, what does realistic bad season look like?
First of all, am I like a Michigan man now for the next 10 minutes?
If you want.
Do I get to wear that title? All right, well, I'm going to talk to you with a more serious, condescending tone, Chip. A disappointing season for Michigan is one in which our players do not improve as men and are not ready to go out into the real world and run the world as a Michigan man is meant to do. That is a disappointment. As for trivial matters such as football, a disappointing season, I think it's so funny, the narrative, and we've talked about it here. The narrative surrounding Michigan and Jim Harbaugh's tenure is one of failure for the most part from a national perspective, simply because, you know, people tend to want to focus on what Jim Harbaugh hasn't done at Michigan. And there are plenty of things that you could look at. I mean, they haven't beaten Ohio State. They haven't won their division. They haven't won the Big Ten. And these are all things that, when Jim Harbaugh came back to Ann Arbor, those were like, you know, that was the goal. He's coming back. They'd gone through a lot of tough times after, you know, after Lloyd Carr stepped down and they bring in Rich Rod and Brady Hoke. It was bad. And Harbaugh was going to get him back to the promised land. But since they haven't won those national titles or anything like that yet, since they've really struggled against Ohio State, I think it's caused a lot of people to overlook what Harbaugh actually has done to this program, in that in his five seasons, they've gone 47-18. The seven seasons between him and Carr, they only won 46 games. So he won more games in five seasons than they did in the seven before him. Now, that's still not enough because, again, none of those wins have come against Ohio State. And until some of them do, you're not really going to change the minds of a lot of people who have their minds made up as it is. And he has struggled in that they're not beating a lot of the elite teams. They've been great at beating up the teams they're supposed to, but they haven't really consistently beat the teams that you need to beat to get to that next level. That said, Harbaugh's teams in five seasons have won 10 games in three of those five seasons, which is the first time that Michigan has done that since the 2002-2006 stretch, where they did it under Lloyd Carr. So I think when we look at what he has accomplished to this point, he has drastically raised the floor for what Michigan football is supposed to be. Whereas now, when he took over, like, Michigan fans are sitting there like, man, let's get to 9-3 and work from there. And now if at 9-3, they're kind of disappointed in what they have been, especially if one of those three losses is to Ohio State.
Okay. There was a lot of state of the program. But in 2020 specifically, is this a year, like, where should the expectations be? Because, like you said, 9-3 is probably disappointing at this point. And I would say most people around the country, because they don't know what the quarterback's name is and they see all these offensive linemen get drafted in the first round, or not the first round, but in the NFL draft, and they probably would all say 9-3 for Michigan this year. Is there any realistic possibility that this is the year that Michigan catches us all slipping and saying, here's a down year for Michigan, but, oh, now that we're not paying attention, here they rise as a potential Big Ten champion?
It's possible. I don't think it's likely. But I think what makes it possible is that Shea Patterson, when he came as a transfer from Ole Miss, kind of like Harbaugh, there were expectations for what he could be based on, you know, his like his recruiting rating of like, this is a guy. Oh, my God, this is a dude. This is going to be a great player for us. And he never really lived up to those expectations. And while he was a very efficient quarterback, he wasn't really a guy who was going to take them to the next level and win you the big game or make those plays. That said, he also was playing in a very stodgy vanilla offense for the first part of his time in Michigan. And last year, when they finally opened things up, it took him a bit of time for the entire offense to adjust. And then the light kind of flicked on in that loss to Penn State in that second half. And they played overall better. But I think the one thing that's going to determine what this team does, like if Michigan does shock the world while nobody's looking this year, and you know, it knocks off Ohio State, it wins the East, it gets to Indianapolis, it will be because whoever wins that quarterback competition between McCaffrey and Joe Milton, that guy will have taken a significant step forward, or it's just been somebody who raises the floor and gives them a higher ceiling because they're more of a playmaker than Patterson was. And I think Patterson started showing flashes of that at the end. He just wasn't consistent enough doing it. But as Michigan heads into year two of their offense, where you would hope that, while, yeah, they lose four of their five offensive linemen, we can't just simply overlook that and think, oh no, that's nothing to sneeze at. But this is also Michigan. And Michigan, if the one thing I've never really had too much concern about with this program is its ability to find offensive linemen and put together competent offensive line. So it's a worry. It's not a huge like anchor on my expectations for what this team can do. But overall, if this offense, because, you know, Ronnie Bell's back, Nico Hollins is back, like Donovan Peoples-Jones was the highest rated recruit. He was not the best wide receiver on that team last year. He was like the third or fourth best receiver. Bell and Collins were the two best receivers, and they're both back. So you keep that thing moving forward year two in a new offense, a more explosive offense, and you hope that they're able to improve in that aspect, and maybe McCaffrey or Milton are better and an improvement on Patterson. There's the path to this team being able to win the East. Now, I don't think that is a likely outcome, simply because I think that's a lot of things that have to go right, and it's unrealistic to think everything's going to go right without something going wrong somewhere along the way. And if you look at the schedule, man, there is, you know, they open the year with a road trip to Washington.
Well, can I ask you a specific question about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Please.
Michigan's quarterbacks that we've got, McCaffrey and Milton, I guess Jacob Sermon, but I guess we still don't even know what the rest of that goes. Which quarterback, uncertainty at both Michigan and Washington, which quarterbacks would you rather have?
Between Michigan and Washington?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a very similar situation for me.
I think it's
that question.
Yeah, I'm going to guess Michigan here, but I think that's what, if we play that game at the beginning of the season, Michigan and Washington are two teams that in a lot of places on the depth chart look to be in the right spot. I'm going to go slight edge Michigan.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's a really, I could see that. I feel like it's very similar. Personally, I mean, my opinion might be swayed by the fact that I've never, based on what I've seen, I've never been huge on Dylan McCaffrey. I don't have a really high estimation of what he can be. I think, to me, Joe Milton is the more enticing player. I think that there's just a lot to like there, although it's far from a finished product. But I think if something clicks there, Milton's a guy who could be a very good quarterback and could be very good for Michigan. But yeah, so they start the season on the road against Washington, who clearly has its own questions, but still going on the road with a lot of new faces, making their first starts or taking on bigger roles for the first time in that environment, that's not going to be easy. But then after, you know, a couple of non-con games, which they should cruise against Ball State and Arkansas State, you get the stretch of schedule where they've got Wisconsin in Ann Arbor. The week after that, Penn State's coming to Ann Arbor. Then after that, while Michigan State is, we think, is going to be on a somewhat of a downward trend this year, that's still a huge rivalry game, and it's still on the road against your in-state rival. And then the week after that, you've got to go on the road against a Minnesota team that Michigan has completely dominated for the most part for like the better part of 25 years. But a Minnesota team that we all expect to be taking, you know, to, or at least be able to maintain that kind of step forward it took last year. So that's a really difficult stretch early in the year before we get to Ohio State at the end of the season. So I look at this and I feel like 9-3 is a disappointing season, but I also think that looking at the schedule, 9-3 regular season, a very realistic, you know, outcome for this team. And in fact, based on some of the games that they have to play, maybe in reality, we should look at 9-3 with all the changes that this team is making at key positions. A 9-3 season might be something that, you know, we should be looked at positively, but probably won't be.
Return a line in the secondary, rework the offensive line, new quarterback, but hey, maybe a better quarterback. Don't know. Running back experience returns. Wide receiver position turns over a little bit, but now it has more of the type of receivers that Josh Gattis wants. And linebacker and defensive front is always going to be pretty solid under Don Brown. Just saying, could be a team that's being overlooked. Could be.
Yeah, and I think a big key, too, I should have mentioned, like that defensive front, like last year, that the interior of their defensive line, they got gashed against good, strong teams in the run game. Like, you remember that Wisconsin game. You remember Ohio State did it to them. Penn State did it to them for a while. You know, they were getting gashed in the run game by a lot of the bigger, stronger teams that they went against. So, for me, we need to see an improvement there. Although, at defensive end position with Quiddy Pay and Aiden Hutchinson, I still think they're very good. They're going to have a very good pass rush. Losing a guy like Josh Uche hurts, but I still think that with those guys coming back and a dude like Cameron McGrone, who kind of didn't begin the season as a starter, or stepped in because of injuries and is just a very impressive, very quick athlete, very quick tackling machine. I think that's, he's kind of like that hybrid defender that we were seeing more and more of in defensive football. And I think McGrone's got a chance to be a very good player. So there are a lot of guys on this roster with very high ceilings. And if it clicks, yes, it's not completely out of the question that this Michigan team might surprise a whole lot of people in 2020.
He is Tom Fornelli. You can follow him on Twitter at Tom Fornelli, and he is relieved from the stand. Thank you very much, Tom. You can follow him on Twitter at Barton Simmons. You can follow me at Chip _ Patterson. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.